Good morning. Oh, you can do better than that. Good morning.
Good morning.
There we go. It sounds like there's some people here now. It's good to see you this morning on this beautiful Sunday with the sun shining outside. We welcome you to West End United Methodist Church. My name is Reverend Brandon Baxter, and I'm one of the associate pastors here. And it's my pleasure to welcome you this morning, whether you're worshiping with us in person or online. Either way, we would love to know that you are worshiping with us this morning. So if you are joining us online, we ask that you record your attendance according to the instructions that are on the screen or in the chat. And for those of you here in person, we ask that you find the attendance notepads that are on the pews and fill those out and pass them down and put your information there so we know that you are joining us today and we know how to reach out to you if we need to chat about anything. I have a few announcements today, and when I say a few, I've got like six or seven, so I'm going to try to go through them quickly here. First of all, this morning, our hospitality team is going to offer us a donut sundae, which we do every so often, and that's going to be right out here in Reed Hall after this service, between our two services. So if you want to, just head out that way, grab a donut, grab some coffee, and chat with folks. Maybe folks you haven't seen in a while since we've been away on vacation this summer, things like that. Also, today at noon, following the 11 o'clock service in room 310, there's going to be a meeting for anyone that would like to find out more information about how to help our church support H.G. Hill Middle School in the coming year. Our church has a relationship with H.G. Hill where we support their teachers and students and their families. So we invite you to come to room 310 at noon today to find out more about that. Next Sunday is August 14th, and that will be our promotion Sunday. It's the day when all of our young persons move up to their new Sunday morning classes for the year. And also in our services, we will have a blessing of the school year when we pray for our students and teachers, and students will even receive a special tag for their backpack. So we invite everybody to be here for that. Also, the Sunday after that, on August 28th, we're going to celebrate a Jubilee Sunday where we're inviting everybody to try to be back here in person if it's possible for you to be. We are so blessed when we are able to be in one another's presence, and the last 2 years hasn't afforded us as many opportunities to be present together. So we hope to see you that day. We're going to have brass accompaniment here along with the choir. We're going to have our engagement party down in the gym where we're going to have all sorts of opportunities to find out how you can be more involved in the life of our church through service or through small groups or other things like that. So Jubilee Sunday is going to be a great celebration. We hope to see you all here for the party on August 28th. Also, I want to mention briefly that there is a great opportunity to see Reverend Dr. James Lawson speak at Gordon Memorial United Methodist Church this coming week on August 11th. So if you'll check your e-news, you can find a way to register for that event. And then finally, last but not least, our organ is receiving some much-needed upgrades, but because of that, we are mid-process of upgrading the organ, and so today, all of our music will be accompanied on piano. So I think it's going to be a wonderful experience for us to be able to fill this space with our singing voices and to hear the voices of the choir in a different way and to hear the beautiful music of the piano throughout this sanctuary. So we invite you to enjoy that unique experience today as well. And now, having said all those things, let us go to the God who calls us into relationship and into responsive relationship, that we might live according to God's ways. Let us go to worship.
God, you call us to come and hear.
Our ears.
God, you call us to set aside our evil deeds. God, you call us to be people of justice. Let us come before God with our confessions, with the assurance that who we are, that what we carry, are held within the God of perfect love, who knows our intimacy, who cares for us deeply, and whose compassion and mercy have no end. Merciful God, we confess that we have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And now, God, we offer our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, that he proved God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. As a forgiven and reconciled people, we come to exchange signs of reconciliation and love in whatever way you feel comfortable. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1. Then verses 10 through 20. The vision of Isaiah, son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teachings of God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I've had enough of your burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the bull of blood, the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who asked this from your hand? Trample my courts no more. Bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and calling of convocation, I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Your new moons and your appointed festivals, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me, and I am weary of bearing them. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. Remove your evil deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us argue it out, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will become like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. the word of God for the people of God.
And now I want to invite all of our young ones, our children, to come forward for a moment. If you would, come join me up here. And if you're worshiping at home and you're a young person, you may move closer to the screen at this time. And those of you that are coming up for the children's sermon today, you're going to have to come this way and come around. Yeah, come right over here. And then you'll meet me over here. Yeah, because we've got the rail closed today for communion. So come on up. Come on up. Yeah. All right, young, have a seat right there. I'm going to sit up here. We'll wait till everybody makes their way around. How are you today? You okay? You good? Yeah. All right. Hey, how are you? Yeah. Well, I don't know if you were listening to Mr. Rob as he was saying all of those words, but he had some strange things to say up there. He was speaking some of the words of the prophet Isaiah. And if you don't know what a prophet is, I'm going to talk a little more about what a prophet is in a little bit. But a prophet is somebody that tries to understand what it is that God might be wanting to say to us, might be wanting us to hear in our lives. So you know what? I'm going to try something really dangerous. Oh, no, he's not a bad guy. He was a good guy. But you know what? Somebody could try to say that they're hearing the voice of God and do something bad with that, couldn't they? So we have to be careful when somebody says that, but yeah, well, what was happening was he was talking about some of the ways that people were acting in the cities. So the good guy was Isaiah speaking, but he was talking about people that weren't acting so well. And I'm going to try something a little bit dangerous today, because you know what? Prophets can be a little bit dangerous sometimes. I want us to see, because Isaiah believed that God was with us all the time, speaking to us, helping us know what to do and who to be and how to become more like God would want us to be. So I'm going to ask you to do this. We're going to close our eyes for a minute. We're going to listen quietly for a moment for the voice of God, okay? So just take a deep breath. Now open your eyes and look at me. Is there something you think God wants us to hear today? If you do, raise your hand. Just tell me something. Okay, I'm going to call on you though, okay? What? Yeah.
Be good.
Be good. Did you hear that, congregation? A prophetic voice up here. Be good. Okay, what do you think God wants us to hear? What's that? You have one? What is it? Yeah? Well, she's got one. It's just in here. What's the one you've got? Oh, pray every day. There's another one, congregation. Pray every day. Good. Does somebody else hear God telling us something else today? What's God say?
Meow.
God is saying meow to us. So maybe God is saying, pay attention to creation and to the animals that bless us in our lives. Meow. Okay, what about you? Wait, hold on. Let me hear one more. Okay, to be kind. Thank you. You know what? We can all listen for the voice of God. And if we still ourselves and try to hear what it is that God wants us to be doing, it can change the way we live our lives together. So I want you to continue to try to do that with me. Can you pray with me this morning? Let's pray. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for the ways that you communicate with us. By being present with us and by opening our hearts to the people that you would have us be. Help us listen to the prophets in our midst and the voices that are speaking what it is that God would have us hear, even in the voices of our youngest among us. It is in your holy name that we pray. Amen. All right. Now, those of you that are... All right, let go of your hands now. Those of you that are 3, 4, and 5 can go with Pastor Maggie over there to Children's Church. Okay, and then if you're older, you can go back and sit with your family. Okay? Thank you. Even kids can be prophets, right? This time last week, I was on my way back from vacation. I was on vacation in New York City. I was with my family, and we were there for 4.5 days, and we were in Manhattan the whole time. And we did a lot of the normal things you would do to have fun and sightsee, but the primary reason we went was because my daughters are obsessed with musical theater. My daughters are actresses. They love to act. They love to sing. They love to watch musical movies. They love to watch musicals on stage. They love to listen to musical soundtracks and sing them all around our house. Our house is always full of music and loudness, sometimes to my chagrin. But they had never been to Broadway, and they really wanted to go. And so we decided we would go to New York. And we saw 3 shows in the 4 days that we were there, which is packing it in. We saw a modern classic in Wicked. We saw a classic revival of The Music Man with Hugh Jackman and Sutton Foster, which was amazing. And then we saw a kind of quirky, newer kind of musical in Beetlejuice, which is based on the 1980s movie. And it had been a long time since I had been to a Broadway show as well. And I was struck by the power of performance on the stage. It's amazing. You have what in every other context is a normal, everyday person, and in this place, they're transformed. So we went to see some of these actors and actresses, you know, come out of the stage door after the shows, and they were just regular old normal people like us. Well, except for Hugh Jackman. But the rest were everyday normal people like us. And yet then when they get on stage with the lights and the set and the costumes and the makeup and all of that, and then of course their talent, they step into this role and they start to channel a different personality. They're transformed. And they have this power to draw you into a new world. They draw you in and you start to feel things and you start to think about things differently. It's an amazing experience. And as I thought about that, and then I was reflecting on Isaiah as a prophet this week, I realized that the work of a prophet is a lot like the work of a performer. It's really quite similar, except instead, the prophet has the daunting task of stepping into the personality and the voice of God. So instead of channeling the Wicked Witch of the West or a wacky poltergeist in Beetlejuice, a prophet is channeling the voice of God. That's what makes prophecy so powerful. It's what makes prophecy have the potential to be world-changing. And it's also, as one of our friends helped us remember, it's also the thing that can also make prophecy potentially dangerous. If somebody says they're speaking the word of God and yet maybe they're using it in a way that is coercive or domineering. And so we have to be careful about that. And it does make one wonder, what even makes somebody think they can speak for God in the first place? When you heard Rob read those words so powerfully, it's like, how can somebody believe they can speak that forthrightly in the name of God? Well, it's been my experience that those around me that I've seen that seem to be prophetic, and when you look at the examples of prophets in the Bible, it's these people that have spent a long time leaning into and drawing near to God, drawing nearer and nearer to God in such a way that then they almost become in tune with the times. And they can start to get a sense of what maybe it is that God is calling from us in those moments. Now that's a scary thing. I'll tell you, as somebody that just has to get up and preach and expound on the Word of God, sometimes I'm like, who am I to do that? Who am I to try to make that kind of proclamation? And prophets do that in an even bolder and stronger way. So it's a dangerous thing, but it can be a life-giving thing too. And that's exactly what we see with Isaiah here. Isaiah is operating and speaking to his people in the 8th century BCE. before the complete fall of the northern kingdom of Israel to Assyria, before the fall of the kingdom of Judah to Babylon, they're kind of in this space where they should be in a good place as a people, and yet things don't seem to be going so well. Isaiah looks out at the people and says, "Look around. You say you believe in the God that liberated us from Egypt, brought us out of captivity into this land. You do the rituals and the worship that says that you trust in this God that calls us to be a people that are acting out God's love and righteousness and goodness among us. You claim to be these people. And yet when I look around, and when you look around, if you really think about it, are you doing it? Or is the way you're acting not matching up? Are you forgetting the oppressed, forgetting the widow, the orphan? You have blood on your hands. You are not acting in ways that are life-giving within yourselves and with your neighbors. And this is a path for destruction." He even calls them Sodom and Gomorrah, these almost mythical cities that were used as an image of what it means to fall so far away from God that everything falls apart. And so I think about Isaiah in this moment, and you have this picture on your bulletin that has Isaiah overlooking the city of Jerusalem. And as I thought about that picture and had it in my mind, it brought to mind the concept of adaptive leadership. Have you all ever heard this term, adaptive leadership? Is there anybody out there? Raise your hand if you've ever heard that. I want to know that at least some. Okay, good. A few people know what I'm talking about. In leadership circles the last few years, it's become very common to talk about learning more about adaptive leadership. And what that means is that there are some problems that are so complex and so difficult that they just simply do not have easy answers. So an adaptive problem is different from a technical problem. In a technical problem, you can figure out the answer really easily. So it might be something like a flat tire is a technical problem. You know, you either need to patch the tire and then fill it back up, or you might need a brand new tire. But once you do one of those two things, you can get back on the road again. That's a technical problem. But an adaptive problem might be, oh, it seems like the hearts of the people aren't where they should be. Well, how in the heck do you solve that problem? And what they say in adaptive leadership is what you need to do is you need to get up on the balcony. They talk about getting a balcony view, and you look down and you look at all the things that are going on, all the different components of the problem, and you start to ask questions about it. And then you start to work together to live into something new that's unknown and unknowable, really, because it's a new problem to figure out. And I think that's the work of a prophet. The work of a prophet is to take the balcony view, and to take the balcony view with God in mind and in heart. So I thought about that this week. I thought about Isaiah and this balcony view, looking over Jerusalem. And then I thought, gosh, what would it be for a prophet to look at us like that right now? What would it be for a prophet to look at our nation right now? What would it be for a prophet to look at our church right now? That prophet might say something like, "Listen up! Listen up, United States of America! You who claim to live into the God-given gifts of freedom and liberty and justice for all. How's it looking right now?" God might say, "Hey, West End United Methodist Church, listen up. You say that God loves everyone unconditionally, but how are you making that evident in the way that you live? Listen up, you United Methodists. When you were baptized, you promised to resist evil and injustice and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. Do you see any fruit of that? Listen up, you Christian. You say you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and your neighbor as yourself. And not just your neighbor, but your enemy too. Is that happening among you right now? You see, I think the mark of a true prophet is not somebody that predicts the future. And it's not somebody that has all of the right answers either. Sometimes, if you really look at the prophet, sometimes they get the answers right and sometimes they get the answers wrong. And you only know in retrospect when they were right, which is kind of a frustrating thing about prophecy. But I think a true prophet is someone that is so close to God that they can put their finger on what the right issues are and the right problems are. And also someone who can ask the right questions and remind us that our relationship with God is not this separate domineering thing, but it's this God that, in this wonderful phrase that Isaiah uses, says, "Come now, let us argue it out." We are called as the people of God to argue it out with God, to argue it out with one another, but to do it together in ways that guard the dignity and the life-giving aspects of what it means to be the people of God. So I think, if nothing else, a prophet like Isaiah today would look at us and say, "Draw near to God and come now, let us argue it out." Are we bold enough to listen like that? And are we maybe even bold enough to speak and act like that? I don't have all the answers, but I think God is raising the questions. So come now, let us argue it out.
Prophets bring us comfort and conviction, and they invite us to live more deeply into the faith of the one who claims us. And we are the people of God, and I invite you to stand as you are able, in body or in spirit, and let us claim our faith together, affirm our faith in the God of the prophets and the God of us all. You can find our proclamation, our affirmation, on page 883 in our hymnals. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As the people of God, we come together each week to pray together with each other, for each other, and for our world. We always welcome your prayer concerns and your joys. And if you're here in the sanctuary, we invite you to use the gray cards in the pew racks in front of you to share your prayers with us and place them in the offering plates as they go by. If you're worshiping with us online, you can go to our website, and under Contact Us, there's a way to share your prayer concerns there. Your pastors meet together every Monday afternoon and pray by name for each of these requests. This morning we offer our prayers of love and sympathy to the family and friends of West End member Kathleen Strong Elder, who passed away on July 20th of this year. At this time, no public services have been planned. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of love and God of power, we begin our prayers this day with gratitude. We praise you for the beauty of your creation, for the sun that shines and the rain that waters the earth. Keep our eyes open to the blessings you bestow upon us every day. All around us, we see signs of your provision, your compassion, and your care. We thank you, O God, for the voices of the prophets, the prophet Isaiah, and the prophets in our own day, who wake us up, who call us to account, and who remind us of who you are and who we are called to be. They give us a vision of your kingdom. They reveal to us your dream for creation. They remind us that the world is not yet as it should be, that we are not yet as we should be. But we have just affirmed together that you are with us. You are working on us. You are moving in your world. Even now, you are bringing about healing, hope, justice, abundance, and joy for all people. And so, O God, we turn our hearts toward you, and we pray for the healing of this world. We pray for deep peace, peace that comes with your justice in our homes, in our relationships, in your church, in this community, and in the world. Empower us to be instruments of your peace. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus, the Christ. Amen. We continue our worship by bringing our offerings and tithes and gifts for the work of the kingdom, so that we might continue our vital ministries in this place and beyond this community. We invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. If you're worshiping online, you're welcome to use the link in the chat to make your gifts this day. And the rest of us who are in the sanctuary will make our gifts in the offering plates as they go by. So let us now offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our whole hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally.
joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, spoke to us through the prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, and he fed the hungry, and he ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. And on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you and broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet.
Of the children of God, please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
This is the body of Christ, broken for you and given for all. And this is the cup of salvation poured out for you and for all. The table is now set before us, and it is open to all persons. In the United Methodist Church, we have an open table, and that means that anyone who desires to experience the grace of God is welcome to come forward and partake in this meal. No matter who you are or where you come from, you are welcome at this meal this morning. All of our elements are gluten-free elements, so you don't have to worry about anything if you have gluten sensitivities. All of our elements should be good for you there. And as you come forward, you will come by way of the aisle, and we're going to have the choir come first, and then we will have other folks from the transept and the balcony come after them, and then those in the nave will come forward down the aisle. And we ask that you, as you come down, make sure to fill up the pew, the kneelers all the way, you know, fill up any empty space, and that way we can serve you, and you just place your hands out like this, and we will give you the elements, and that lets us know that you have not received yet. If you would like to be served in your seat, John and Stacy are going to come around and bring elements to you in your seat, and those will be the prepackaged elements. So those are available to you as well. It's our tradition at West End every month to have a special communion offering, and this month's communion offering will go to support our work in our public school partnership with H.G. Hill Middle School. And that money goes to support families and students and staff of the school in many ways, from faculty appreciation lunches to coffee carts for the teachers to a holiday party for the children and more. So we invite you to give that offering in these plates that are here at the front here. Or if you're worshiping online, designate them specifically for that. And now our table is open. Come and partake in Christ's heavenly banquet. Thank you. And now if you'll join me in our prayer after receiving. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. Amen. Listen, West End United Methodist Church, God's calling us to get lost in wonder, love, and grace. That's a wonderful thing. So go forth. Draw near to God. Draw near to one another. Think about what it is God wants us to be doing in this world. And come now, let us argue it out. Thanks be to God. Amen.